Let's turn to Lawrence. Steve Early's on the line with us to give us a report from the symposium that took place in Lawrence. Steve is, well, I think of him as probably the most incisive labor journalist we have, but more than that, as kind of a conscience of the labor movement. So, Steve, welcome to the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Got a question for you to start out. For most of the last 100 years, the Lawrence Citizens Association, which was founded during that strike, has prevented any mention of the strike, has kind of denied that it occurred, and has intervened in, with publishers to keep mention out of textbooks. Reminds me of some of the political theoreticians after the French Revolution, who basically proved theoretically that no revolution could have occurred. And yet now, we have this major celebration. Why? What do you make of that? What enabled it?
Well, I think just as the American roots of May Day has been rediscovered, and we've been able to reclaim May Day as an international workers' day here in the U.S. after more than half a century, in which we were told that Labor Day was at the end of the summer or beginning of the fall, you're absolutely right. The memories of the Lawrence strike in 1912 were pretty systematically obliterated. As an organizer for the communication workers in the Merrimack Valley area in the 1980s, I met many grandchildren and even some children of Lawrence strikers. And people knew very little about their own history of struggle in the textile industry. Thanks to some local labor historians at UMass Lowell, some of the surviving Merrimack Valley unions, the state AFL-CIO in Massachusetts, some efforts have been made in recent years to commemorate the Lawrence struggle, the Bread and Roses strike. There's an annual Labor Day weekend celebration in Lawrence. And this year, on the centennial, there have been a series of events culminating in a great one on Saturday. More than 300 people attended, academics, activists, members of the community, and a very unusual symposium trying to relate the lessons of the past to the challenges facing workers in the unions today.
Now, this symposium took place, did it not, in at least one of the old mills, this massive industrial site?
Yes, there is. There has been in Lawrence an effort to preserve some of the scenes of the city's industrial history, and one of the main sessions that was addressed by AFL President Rich Trumka was actually a scene of strike activity where people walked off the job, and as part of a huge upsurge of 20,000 workers struck for several months against pay cuts and made labor history in the city of Lawrence.
There's so little emphasis, so little acknowledgement even in our culture about people's work life, work space, that to me it sounds special to actually have this take place in the old mills.
Very definitely. And I think there was, in many of the workshops and discussions, an attempt to figure out how we could apply the lessons of this strike to the organizational challenges facing unions today. I mean, one of the great achievements of the Bread and Roses strike, which was led by the radical industrial workers of the world, was uniting a very diverse, multi-ethnic workforce. People spoke more than 40 different languages. And, of course, today Lawrence itself is a predominantly immigrant population. Many parts of the country, the labor movement, if it's going to survive, much less revive, has to reach out to foreign-born workers and have a model of inclusiveness that makes them part of the labor movement, just as the IWW did in Lawrence 100 years ago.
Just as I expected, of course, you're leading me into really interesting territory. So what were some of the lessons or some of the points? What's the relevance of Lawrence for us now?
Some of the folks participating in the workshops are involved in worker centers serving Spanish-speaking workers. I mean, Lawrence today really is in very sad shape, very poor, high unemployment, a lot of street crime, crumbling public schools. People need bread and roses there today every bit as much as they did 100 years ago, and they need it today in the form of living wage jobs, affordable housing, better schools, better environment in which, you know, people can raise kids and have a decent life. And that's quite a struggle in the city of Lawrence today. And unfortunately, we don't have the kind of new labor movement that emerged 100 years ago to help people achieve some of those goals. So hopefully this conference will plant a few seeds for the revival of such a labor movement.
Your particular session, as I read the schedule, was devoted to, well, to what? To tactics now? To more than that?
Well, to really discussing how we survive the strike, not always on the scale of the Bread and Roses strike, but certainly the use of work stoppages, of job actions, of concerted activity on the job to help workers fight for better conditions and to build new unions and to repel some of these terrible employer assaults on labor in this country today. So we had some veterans of recent strike activity in Massachusetts, members of CWA and the IBW who were on strike at Verizon, the phone company, last summer, members of the food and commercial workers who were involved in the strike at the Shaw's warehouse in neighboring Methuen. We had some workers from a Unite Here shop who were among the last remaining garment workers in the Merrimack Valley. And so people kind of compared notes on the state of unions in Lawrence and surrounding communities today, and what we could learn from the struggle of the IWW-led textile workers in 1912.
That's terrific. It's not obvious, of course, in looking at that kind of a program that it's going to be workers themselves attending. So I like hearing that.
There was a great deal of outreach, and as part of the major plenary session that Trumka, the head of the AFL, spoke at, I'd say there were 30 rank-and-file members of Unite Here sitting at several tables, very enthusiastically applauding one of their own leaders, an immigrant worker himself. So it really was a great and very moving tribute to the struggle of workers 100 years ago that involved working people today on the front lines of union activity in Massachusetts.
I received an email this morning, I want to alert all our listeners to it, that the state of Washington, the Labor Council, and a whole bunch of affiliated groups, the IWW that you mentioned, the Industrial Workers of the World, the Seattle Labor Chorus, are all putting on a month worth of activities. They call it May Works. This is an old Canadian tradition to have May Works. Heavy emphasis on culture, on looking back at our traditions, on song as a way of bringing us together. Everybody be aware of that. I'd love to be able to do something like that in Oregon as well. Steve, where are you going to...
There were some folks from New Jersey at the event on Saturday. They're planning a 100th anniversary celebration in Paterson next year, a celebration of the great 1913 IWW-led Paterson silk workers strike. So this is catching on elsewhere.
I know you've got to run. Where are you going to be on May Day?
Going to be down in Providence, Rhode Island, participating in some of the marches and rallies tomorrow afternoon. And then at 7 p.m. at the Firefighters Hall on Printery Street, we're going to be doing a book event and forum about labor issues facing private and public sector workers in the great state of Rhode Island.
Boy, I remember we went through a period of many, many years where you'd tell people that we were celebrating May Day here in Portland, and in most places, May Day did not receive that acknowledgement. Labor movement wasn't involved. Minneapolis always had a May Day, but a lot of places didn't. Whereas now, tomorrow, I'm anticipating maybe the largest single purposeful human gathering in history around the world.
But it certainly, in this country, will be the biggest since the great immigrant worker Day Without Immigrants in 2006. Hundreds of thousands of people out in the streets, and let's hope the Occupy movement has inspired a similar level of worker and community activity tomorrow throughout the country.
We've been talking with Steve Early. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm going to put a link on our website to some of Steve's books also. So look for that later today or tomorrow.